So, as I sit and watch the world around me, after nearly 6 decades of life, I see the great malady of the 21st century is loss of soul. And for me, when the soul is neglected, it doesn't just go away. No, for me, in my journey spanning nearly 4 decades of experience in working with people in a variety of roles, be that therapist, healer, or simply friend, I have seen how the loss of soul appears symptomatically in obsessions, addictions, violence, and loss of meaning. Now, our temptation is to isolate these symptoms or try to eradicate them one by one. But the root of the problem is that we've lost our wisdom about the soul, and even, dare I say it, our interest in it. Earlier in our history, this is where the priests would have administered to such a malady. But now there is no power for the priest in everyday life, for they are only consulted to marry and bury us, and not to be assisting in our everyday life. We have few specialists of the soul to advise us when we've lost meaning, or when, as a nation, we find ourselves confronting a host of threatening evils. But within our heart, within our history, we do have remarkable sources of insight. And it is here that we can look to restoring this wisdom. Modern psychology creates a clear tone of salvation, in the sense that if you learn to be assertive, loving, angry, and expressive, your troubles will all be over. What a bland existence we would have, and no grist for our development. No, for me, I see how a philosophy of soulful living and techniques for dealing with everyday problems, without striving for perfection, or for that matter salvation, is the real future. Based on my experience, a spiritual life of some kind is absolutely necessary for psychological health. At the same time, excessive or ungrounded spirituality can also be dangerous, leading to all kinds of unwanted semi-addictive behavior, and of course, an awful lot of confusion. So, what I am aiming for, then, is the interplay of spirituality and soul. All of my thinking leads to care of the soul, where the soul lies between understanding and the link with our very real self, via our unconscious mind. And our soul's instrument is neither in the mind or the body. No, it is within our imagination. To fulfill our soulful self, we need to bring imagination into our lives in all those areas which are devoid of such imagination. And we know where they are, because symptoms or behaviors and feelings will lead us to isolating such places in our life today. Fulfilling work, rewarding relationships, personal power, and relief from symptoms are all challenges to our conscious mind from the heart of our soul. However, currently in the real world, the mind tends to go off on its own pathway, so that it seems to have no relevance to the physical world. At the same time, the material life can be so absorbing that we get caught up in it and forget about spirituality. What we need is the soul in the middle, holding together mind and body, ideas and life, spirituality and the world. In my work, the aim has always been about renewing a connection and bringing back our soul into our lives. So for me, we can be curators of our soul, an idea that implies an inner priesthood and a close personal religion. To undertake the restoration of our soul means we have to make our spirituality a more serious part of our everyday life. What I am putting forward in such ideas is not about curing, fixing, changing, adjusting, or making healthy, because for me, it's not about the idea of perfection or even improvement. Why? Because psychology is a science, whilst for me, care of the soul is a sacred art. A soulful person is complicated, multifaceted, and shaped by both pain and pleasure, success and failure. Life lived soulfully is not without its moments of darkness or periods of foolishness. So, dropping the salvational fantasy frees us up to the possibility of self-knowledge and self-acceptance, which are the very foundation of the soul. So, as going against our deepest conscience can make us physically ill, coming to terms with moral, ethical and spiritual demands upon the way we live can heal, or at least be indispensable for healing psychically, no less than physically. My and our intuition implies that this struggle is of importance even beyond our own personal life drama. We find that in the depths of our being, the quest for meaning at times overrules even the urge for survival. In my work, here death may be recognized as the bearer of health and renewal, as in the case of one of my patients, Kevin, who, at the age of 31, created a vehicle to achieve all that he'd ever dreamt of, and on completion of fulfilling such a dream, died from cancer a few months later. Our problems and difficulties meet us not simply because of wrong attitudes, but also in order to move us forward. The emergence of ever new field patterns of energy, with their conflict and illness potentials, is an essential element of human existence, a precondition for maturation and growth. Here, life is not just a battle for survival, but a dramatic process of creation, a summons to embody and express ever new forms of plays for their own sake, in motion towards a greater refinement. For the person, the difficult and often painful, nearly too difficult assignment in their life is the challenge to be becoming what our potential is and who we really are, and that we are all capable of expressing in this our life, including alternating phases of illness and healing, of experiencing guilt and redemption, egotism and sacrifice, and thereby integrating our unique separation and destructive drives into the formal order of this our life. By virtue of including this substance body of the earth in the human transformation process of laboring through pain and illness for the sake of growth and expanding awareness, humankind may indeed, as the old laws of alchemy saw it, offer transformation beyond this the level of our physical, material body.